The views, opinions and content shared on this podcast are those of the host and guests, drawn from their professional and personal experiences. Please note that there is no single right way to work with or care for curly hair. What works for one person may not work for another, and more than one approach can be valid depending on the experience.
We're here to encourage new ideas, fresh approaches and ways of thinking. Terminology and practices around hair can vary, and we support and encourage the expression and authenticity. When we refer to curls in this podcast, we are speaking inclusively of all textures across the curl and coily spectrum. Welcome back to the Detangled podcast by Avlon. I'm Jackie McIntosh, and today we're diving into an episode that's all about colouring curly and coily hair. A topic that's essential for anyone looking to explore or refine their hair care routine. Today, we'll be talking all things colour with our very own Lewis Driver and Hannah, both seasoned professionals when it comes to colour and textured hair. We'll be breaking down everything you need to know about colouring curly or coily hair, offering practical advice on how to achieve a vibrant, healthy result without damaging your curls. So whether you're a stylist, a consumer, or just curious about colour and texture, we've got the tips and insights you need. So let's get into it. Colouring textured hair can be a bit different than working with straight hair. What are the key differences you've noticed when it comes to approach or how to reduce damage in this process? I'm going to open this up to both of you. So quick fire round, who's going to jump in and answer that?
Yeah, so looking across the board at hair texture in general, we have to consider the structure of that hair that we're working on. So straight hair, the cuticles are laying a lot more flat, and depending on whereabouts that person's DNA is from, they will have more cuticle layers. So when we go over to wavy, curly and coily hair, their head cuticles are naturally much more open. So I'm finding, especially when working in lightening hair, it will actually lighten a lot quicker than people would assume, and the hair could be more fragile due to the open cuticles. So I find going in lower and slower, because it just will help keep the integrity of the hair, and you'll be surprised that you'll achieve that end result in a quicker way as well.
Did you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, I mean, just to jump into what Hannah said about going in lower and slower, like, I always kind of understand it that lower and slower gives you a bit more control, and also usually the power's in the powder or in the tube of tint. So the way I kind of like to visualize it in my mind is that the peroxide is like the speed at which you drive the vehicle. So if you drive the vehicle at the regulated speed limit, you're less likely to have an accident. If you go above the speed limit, you're kind of compromising your safety and the safety, essentially the safety of the hair. When I think about coloring curly and coily hair, I think it's, for me, is a bit more of a visual process, because I'm then now working on a 3D canvas. So where I would use, I guess, or like when I'd go in like a traditional foil, right, everything's a little bit flatter and lays a lot flatter to the head, so you can work in that way. But for example, on a curlier client, I might look at more freehand techniques or chunkier foils or a different placement, because you've got to be able to see the colour once the colour's been placed. And sometimes once the hair's been washed, dried and expanded again, if you've used traditional placement, it might not read the same as it would on somebody with straighter hair. I also think that when we're working with coily and curly hair types, as Hannah was saying, around cuticles and open cuticles and hair lifting and lightening a lot quicker, it's important to think about what you're using and why you're using it. And again, is, or are the results that you need going to be required by the product that you're using? You know, for example, with open cuticles, colour can fall out quicker. So are you putting enough pigment into the hair in order to get the result that you want, you know?
So to jump into that, there is a clear distinction between colouring with tints, lightening with bleach or high lift tints. How does these different methods or these different formulations affect textured hair?
So I think as well, working on darker bases, people might want that more sort of like warmer caramel palette. Like, that's the kind of like palettes that I find is quite popular with my curly clients. And to achieve that, you might not always have to go in with something like a lightener and then go in with a toner. You can achieve that using a high lift tint, mm-hmm. which has a much smaller molecule, so it's not going to be as intrusive on the hair.
Okay.
So it's just kind of understanding that product, and what, like Lewis said, having intention why you're using that.
Yeah, and just to sort of like tag on to that, what you said, I think, you know, people look at curly and coily hair types and see the size, see the volume, see the usually darker base, and naturally assume that they have to go in with the strongest, most potent formulation that they can find. In actual fact, it's the complete opposite. Usually you need to go in with something a lot more gentle, because A, it takes you longer to work through the hair. B, you get a quicker lift. So you don't want to sort of go in with a high volume and blow the cuticle open and then not be able to do anything with it. I think also bleaching is quite popular with some textures, but as you said, you don't always need to use a bleach to get a lift or to get that sort of lovely golden warm blonde. And actually, I find with like lifting with tint or high lift tint, it actually leaves me some pigment or a background in the hair, so that when I come to toning, I'm not having to work as hard to get the tone I want. And also another thing I think people forget with curlier hair types is that they're less reflective. So decolorizing the hair or using a bleach to strip out all of that melanin and all of that pigment sometimes is going to work to a disadvantage, because then you're having to work really hard to get luster and shine again and reflect.
I think that's really important, because I think that's something that is often overlooked when colouring, especially coily hair. You know, you might get away with it with a curl. Well, not so much get away with it, but it's probably not as obvious. But when you're going with a tighter curl pattern, that reflection of colour is important. And sometimes that's why, you know, I hate when people give someone a colour chart for them to pick, especially when you're working with, well, I don't like it across any texture, to be honest, but I think when you're working with tighter curl patterns, it's a non-starter, because that hair is never going to reflect that colour in its true light, and you have to compensate for that.
Yeah.
Do you agree?
Yeah, totally. And I think also, you know, being transparent and being able to like break that down or unpack that for a client is really, really important, because yeah, some things are just not achievable, isn't it? But I guess where I sort of like to pride myself a little bit is that I'm able to offer an alternative, you know? So like, yeah, I think that's a really, really important.
And it's probably better sometimes to, and this is where I think, because as much as bleaching can be quite disheartening when you're working with tighter curled hair, but it's where, this is where it becomes your friend, because it allows you to lift gently, but then using bigger colour molecules like your quasis then impacts and gives that reflection, so you get a better finish than if you were to use just a tint where those molecules are so small they go in and get lost.
Yeah, definitely.
You know. Anyway, sorry, I'm taking over. Let me come back. There is a common myth that colouring textured hair loosens curl patterns. Hannah, what's your thought?
So I think within a lot of things, like we've spoken about before, that, you know, a lot of things can inflict damage upon our hair, and especially when we are using chemicals, because even though they can be gentle on the hair, they are chemicals in which we're using. If it isn't done in the correct way, if it's over-processed or if it's overlapped time and time again, it can cause damage to the structure, and you may find difference in your natural texture, but it doesn't, I don't know, I think people are scared to do things because of that, but I think if you are going to a trusted professional that can minimize that damage, because obviously we've got quality products now which we can add to our color services to prevent things like that happening to the hair, so yeah.
Do you want to add anything to that, Lewis?
Yeah, I think there's a few things. I think, you know, there can be the situation with the looser curl pattern where the client arrives or the person arrives to you with already compromised hair, and you can see that they've suffered some kind of like there's been some damage sustained, because the root area is a lot curlier than the ends, for example. And like you were saying, over time, things can happen. We can overlap or things can be overprocessed. But then I think, you know, for me, there's the other part where I'm like, okay, you're a new client and I don't want to kind of like edge my bet, so I'll always do a strand test. But over time, I've learned that certain hair types can be lifted with a lot less peroxide volume than you think, you know, or percentage peroxide than you think. So I always go in lower because I can always ramp it up if I need to. I can always reapply if I need to, you know. And one of the things that I've learned over time as well is that, you know, you don't have to start the back and leave that section on till you get to the front and everything's processed. it's not uncommon for me when I'm working with curlier and tighter hair types that I wash quadrant by quadrant, because it just that's how it is, you know. So I think loosening can occur if you're not looking after the hair or using the right product or the right percentage, or, you know, you're using even a bleach that's too strong, mm-hmm. you know. But I guess we've got a lot available to us now, so there isn't a reason why that should be happening, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I don't think it's something that should...
And also, let me not forget, Uberlist, like, bomb-building technology. Yeah. I mean, products have come such a long way, you know. Like, I remember bleaching my hair the first time back in the day when I was a junior, and I thought it looked amazing until I touched it and it started dropping out. But now, you know, having what we have available to us, you know, again, you can protect yourself, you can safeguard the client's hair. And, you know, it comes down to simple things like understanding and reading manufacturer instructions. And yes, they have time frames on and things like that, but also, are you going through and checking the hair as you go? Mm-hmm. You know, are you doing like integrity checks section by section? You know, there's just ways to stop that happening, you know.
Mm. Everything is really about protecting throughout the process, isn't it, rather than trying to protect after the process.
Yep.
Yeah.
Can
okay.
I just add something else?
Yeah,
there, I think another thing that I think happens as well, especially within the community, is that people find, or under the misconception, that nobody can colour their hair or do their hair. So then, rather than avoid disappointment, or to go out there, they'll go and buy their own products and try and do it at home, and then they'll come to us when the damage has been done, and then they're not necessarily honest about what's happened and make out like somebody else has done it. And so then you're dealing with that. So, you know, it's been a theme that we've discussed in a few of the episodes now, where like, we can only work with the truth.
Yeah.
So it's best to be honest.
Especially in colour. I mean, well, in any chemical process, I think you've mm-hmm. got to tell your stylist the truth.
In yeah. life.
Yeah. Period. All right, this next question is going to be a big one, so it's going to take a little bit to unpack. Once hair has been processed, how do you recommend clients care for their hair and keep it healthy? One aspect. And what kind of aftercare routines do you suggest with coloured or bleached hair on curls and coils? Because I think that's important, because I think sometimes when we talk about colouring, bleach and curls, it's on the preempt that we think people keep their hair curly. But how do you change up what you're doing if they blow dry their hair in between? Because surely that will have an impact on how you colour.
I mean, one of the things that I try and do where possible, because, you know, time is also a currency within salons, right, is that at the end of a colour service, I will always try and mimic how I would finish their hair in real life, and not with some big fancy blow dry and all the things, because it's not real life, right? Mm-hmm. But also I explain to them within that like, excessive heat on processed hair mm-hmm. is always going to be a little bit of a difficult zone to navigate. So, mm-hmm. yeah, heat protector, mm-hmm. regular treatments, and, you know, coming back to the salon in between appointments for toners or for treatments is also really, really important, because then you can get a bit of a health check on the hair. I think, you know, there's a lot of time where, you know, I see clients quite regularly, 6 to 8 weeks, and I don't see them in between appointments, but then instantly when they come back and sit in the chair, I know that something's changed, or they're not following a hair care routine, because mm-hmm. I can feel it. Mm-hmm. And I always try and explain to clients that, you know, when we put hair through a alkaline process, or we're adding ammonia or persulfates, right, we're drying the hair out. And, you know, curly and coily hair types are already dry. Mm-hmm. That's why we're always putting moisture into the hair, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're taking even more moisture out through a chemical process or by colouring it, then you need to add moisture all the time, like, impact. If not daily, to yeah. a point. And so what I love is one of the things that I really recommend is the Bond Healing Spray by Uberlist, because okay. that's almost like a water-like spray, but mm-hmm. it has the Bond Healing technology in it. So day to day, you can give your hair a little spritz. Not only are you giving it or hydrating it, you're mm-hmm. also putting more of the bond building technology in there to keep those bonds stable, so you get longevity out of your hair.
Cool. And in terms of frequency of colouring the hair, how, especially if you're at the lighter end of the spectrum, how do you advise clients with curly and coily hair to maintain that, those colours, so that they're reducing their use of bleach or high lifting? Or
I think using, you know, prescribed aftercare is mm-hmm. going to maintain, so you're not sort of getting like build up of products which can then like taint the colour on the hair. And also, you know, we have things like the colour sustainers, which can help refresh and maintain colours at home as well, which has got obviously the professional grade bond sustaining properties within it. So you're maintaining that level of care at home. So yeah, because you just want to be giving back to the hair, because the care, like especially if you've lightened the hair, you're opening that cuticle, you're taking that pigment out. And you're kind of like leaving it. So like you say, you do want to keep giving back to that hair and nurturing it to maintain. But I'm quite like, not ruthless with my clients, but I'm honest with them from the beginning, and I have to make sure that they're on page with this journey. And if I don't feel like that they are in a position to maintain that aftercare, or if they're not willing to invest in that aftercare with having curly hair and having a chemical process, then they will alter what we do in the chair, so it's something that they will be able to maintain. Whether that's just a few panels that they could like look after rather than a full lighten up all over.
Keeping it real, isn't it?
Yeah, you have to, because at the end of the day, you'll be the one that they're coming to when their hair's breaking, and it's nothing that you've done, but it's all that time in between that they don't see you, and that's where the damage could occur. So, yeah.
Sure, true.
I think there's so many things that I want to say right now about that, but I think one of the things, or a couple of the things, is kind of colour choice from the jump, because I think that, you know, yes, I love a reference or an inspo pick, right? And a lot of the time they're a lot lighter than I would potentially say would be suitable for that client, for that client's hair type. So a lot of the time I try and I always recognise and acknowledge a reference, and I'm here to facilitate that choice. But what I would always try and do is steer a curlier client into the sort of warmer tones. Mm-hmm. Firstly, for longevity reasons. Mm-hmm. I would also suggest that I tone or be, make it a shade darker than they would like initially, just so that they get some longevity out of it. So, you know, a couple washes in, it's where they want it to be, because fade is inevitable, and even more so with curly and coily hair types. I think, like you mentioned, sustainers and coloured conditioners are also great for keeping on top of moisture, but also adding pigment back into the hair, so you can refresh and keep vibrancy in between appointments. And then I think also just explaining about frequency of washing, because at the end of the day, like, a colour is only a colour, it's pigment, right? So if you're going to wash your hair every 3 or 4 days, or you're going to be going to the gym every, you know, everything can fade colour, it has it, the sun can fade colour, right? Yeah. So it's just being mindful of all of those things, you know. So making sure that you are on it with your hair care, but also understanding that colour is going to fade and that the hair's also going to dry out. So I guess take from that what you will. But yeah, there's a lot to be said about aftercare.
And I think I'm just going to throw a caveat in here now before I do the last question, because I do think it's really amazing to be sitting here and speaking to colorists, because colorists used to be the hidden gem in a salon. You know, they were applicators that worked with stylists, and you know, you kind of look at the years ahead now where we are, colorists are the heroes in a salon, because you know, the formulas that you make for your clients are so personal and they're so prescriptive to them. How do you feel that, or what do you think you need to take into consideration when you're formulating colour for curly, coily hair, when you're considering the para and orthocortical cells?
So on textured hair, due to the way that the cuticles naturally sit, and within different types you can get hair which is naturally going to reflect the light more or less. So me, for example, my hair is definitely more heavy in the orthocuticles. You can see that in the volume and the texture. It's just the way my hair is naturally. So if I was to be doing a really cool, like, colour, it's going to just be flat and have nothing. So if you consider that the hair is naturally less reflective and you're adding more warmer tones, and also not just the tone but the application and technique that you're doing, I find when lightening curly hair, especially if it is more of a voluminous curl, the bits that you leave out is just as important as what you're colouring, because those pockets of depth is what is going to create that texture.
That, I'm going to stop you right there, because that's a nugget right there. Say that again.
I can't remember what I said exactly, but less is more, basically, sometimes. So to create that illusion of texture when sometimes, because for example, if I was day one washing and my hair was really defined, it's going to look like there's little tiny pops, and then the more it expands, it gives a different overall look of colour and it feels more brighter. So yeah, it very varies on.
So it's important that as much as colouring the hair, focusing on the hair that you're colouring, the actual hair that you leave out,
exactly.
You also need to ensure that you feel that, whether it's with a clear or something like that.
Or using the natural depth if they're a low maintenance client. So they're going to have that feeling of having their hair coloured for a long time. So they haven't got just a dark root and blocky ends. It's that lived in look for a longer period of time.
Amazing.
Just to add to that, I think what I'm hearing and what I think is something that I try and do is remind clients that a lot of the time the reason you come in for colour is because you want definition. So if I then make all of your hair one colour, I've just hidden your definition again, but in a different colour, right? Mm-hmm. So like you were saying, it's really, really important. I think all the bits that you leave out are just as important as the bits that you colour. But going back to what you said about para and ortho cuticles, and a little bit like what you said about reflection, is that even when we are exposing the undercoats on these hair types, they still read as a lot duller than the undercoat of the same level on a different hair type. So when it comes to formulating toner, when it comes to target shade, you have to bear that in mind, and you have to make sure that you're putting in enough of whatever's lacking to give you the result that you want. And I find it really, really interesting, and we've got to thank the internet and thank social media, that people are so scared of warmth. And when you mention warmth to any client, they're like, but on a curly client, warmth, gold pigment, yellow is going to be your friend, because it's going to give you the vibrance and the reflect that you need in order for that colour to look the way it needs to look.
And also translating that across to your client, if their reference or inspo picture is of someone of straight hair, because the colour may be achievable but will read differently on their texture as well.
And just to add to that as well, in terms of colour and colour choice, I think that, again, the power sometimes, or the responsibility, falls to us, doesn't it? Because I think that it's very easy to lighten someone's hair beyond a point or past the point of what actually suits them or is suitable for them. And not just as in terms of the integrity of the hair, but also their skin tone or, you know, their curl pattern, right? So you don't need, what I'm saying is, you don't need to lift hair or make hair too light or too much or push it too far one way, because it needs to live in it still looks natural, is what I'm trying to say, you know? So.
And I think for me, at this point, this is where I say that where bond treatments sit perfect in terms of curly, coily hair. I mean, bond treatments across the colour spectrum on straight to coily hair is an important feature. But I think when you're looking specifically at the lower end, i.e. 3 to 4 hair types, for want of a better description, I think bond treatments are in colouring and bleaching is where it holds its own, because reinforcing that elasticity and reinforcing that internal strength at those cross linkage areas where those colours are really penetrating and doing their work, you not only reinforce the hair in strength, but the elasticity that you're pushing in there also helps alter that curl pattern and gives you better reflection. So I just think the fact that we can now add those kind of things into our colour formulations just help that end finish. So not only is it about the fact that it's strengthening the hair from the chemical process, but it's actually helping you with your end result of your tone. You know, and that's even post toner.
I think, like, you know, another thing that I notice and what I find is that, you know, if you are using a bond treatment or you are putting that into your formulations, you're going to get longevity, but also you're going to get the vibrancy and shine, because not only is the bond treatment the bond treatment is keeping the hair intact, which means it's at its best, right? So if it's at its best, you get optimal results.
But you're improving that elasticity beyond what it was prior to the chemical process. So, well, Uberlist does, but you're improving it prior to that. So, you know, no one, even with their hair in a natural state, is at 100% with your elasticity. But we can prove that we're taking you to 121%. So the way that hair is going to shine after your chemical process is going to be beyond.
And I think one more thing to add as well, like, you can always, or for me, I can always tell a healthy, well-kept head of curly coloured hair, because even if the tone has faded, I can see the curl pattern still intact. And that for me is the giveaway, right? You can have your toner faded or your whatever's, like, it's not looking its best, but if your curl pattern's intact and it's colour treated, but you can see the definition, then you're winning, right? So, like, I think that's something else to bear in mind.
Right, guys. So we're coming down to our hero products. So I'm going to start with you, Lewis. What's your hero product for colour?
I mean, my hero product's always going to be... I mean, there's a few, right? And I bleat on about the Bond system all the time, but my hero products are a combo. Okay. I love the Bond Healing Spray and the Fizz Elixir. And I don't know why it works.
It's the dream, right?
They're the dream team. Honestly. But, you know, and the reason I love it, not just because it's for curly or coily hair types, like, I can use that on every single person the in the salon. Post colour service or put the Bond Healing Spray in prior to cutting. Mm-hmm. And I know that at the end, the Frizz Elixir is going to give me heat protection and anti-humidity. And it's just, they just give me so much. They give me what I need. They detangle, they condition, they give shine. And I tell you another thing about the Frizz Elixir, sorry, I'll shut up.
No, go.
Even with some work I've done on set, you know, like just before somebody's about to go in front of the camera or go onto set, the Frizz Elixir, a couple pumps of that on someone's hair, it just gives it that shine and that vibrancy that it needs, you know? Like, it's noticeable.
Yeah. But because the lights on sets are so strong and it takes out everything. Yeah. So, yeah, nice.
Also, I just feel like they're concentrated enough to get the job done, but they are not heavy either. So that's why they are so versatile across the board, I just think.
And I love the fact that they're a fine mist. Yeah. So, like, you know, distribution and coverage. It's across
and
the smell.
My hero product would have to be the Sustainer colors. I just think they're a really good addition to the range, and they again are really versatile. I love a product that you can use in different instances. It's not just a one trick pony, and you can use it to have fun at home if you want to just freshen up a color, or if you want to try something new without the full commitment to that color. And also they've got the bond building sustaining element within it as well, so you're not only having fun with your hair color, but you are preserving the integrity of the hair as well. So
Amazing. Win-win.
I was just going to say as well, with the sustaining colours, one of the kind of ones that I've recently started to love is the Platinum Jasmine.
Platinum Jasmine.
When I know it's cliche, but like when I was like, okay, Platinum Jasmine, it's not really giving, but to tone highlights or to keep a blonde looking fresh, they just do something. It sparkles, you know. And I think when we were talking about colours and longevity, sometimes what I'll do is layer up. And I'll go in with a sustainer or like a direct dye after a toner because sometimes I feel like the different type of pigment gives you those different layers. So like, yeah, Platinum Jasmine, if you've not tried it, try it. It's amazing.
And before we wrap up, I'm going to ask each of you for one hair hack or tip or trick. So let's start with you, Hannah. Ladies first.
In terms of colouring and everything, I would just say, as a hairstylist, I would say be intentional with the colour that you're... or the agent that you're using to colour your client's hair. So like we were saying earlier, you know, you want to lighten that hair, but what colour are you lighting it to? If it's just a couple of levels of lift, you can go in with a tint. If it's something more high lift, and then you can go in with your bleach, or if you're going to be bleaching, drop the peroxide and just really like focus on the integrity of the hair, because it's so easy to achieve a lot of different outcomes now, but just making sure you keep the foundations and being intentional with it so that your client gets longevity out of the colour and healthy hair.
Thank you. Lewis?
I think one of mine, and it's not so much a tip or trick, it's just something that I'm mindful of and I think is really, really important when colouring hair, is accuracy and intention. I think, you know, for me...
I love that. Accuracy and intention.
But yeah, no, and on a real light, I make sure, and it may slow me down, but I make sure that every single bowl of whatever I'm mixing has the right amount of grams of a product, whether that's tint or bleach, to the right amount of peroxide and the right amount of herbalist, because that's who I am. But it's important, and it's important because not only does it maintains consistency across the service, right? But then I know where I'm going. I'm not guesswork. There's no guesswork in there. Like, every single bowl is weighed and measured as it should be. So I know that my formulation is consistent across every single quadrant of that hair or that application that I do, which then at the end gives me the best result possible, right? Because one, the manufacturer's instructions are there for a reason, and that's why the measurements are there. So I think, yeah, it's a bit of a broad, but I think, and again, then looping it back to curly and textured hair, so important when you're working with a fragile canvas, right? So that would be my tip.
Amazing. Thank you so much for joining us today, Hannah and Lewis. We hope our listeners now feel more confident and informed about colouring curls and coils. For our listeners, don't forget to follow the podcast, share this episode with your friends, family, stylists and anyone passionate about textured hair, and engage with us on our social media. Once again, Lewis, do you want to share your social media handle? Because I feel that people need to know where to find you.
Well, I mean, this is the first time, really, isn't it? But mine's at Lewis Does Hair, nice and simple, and it's L-O-U-I-S.
And Hannah, for people that may have missed our past episode, do you want to just share your handle with us again?
Yeah, sure. So on Instagram, I'm Hannah Marcia, M-A-R-C-I-A, with an extra A at the end.
Guys, I just really, as the host, want to thank you so much for answering some difficult questions, but really giving some detailed information. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.